And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How are you?
Doing okay. Just hoping for a non-robo day. I'm a little worried right now.
Well, so far so good. Michelle Knezovic, what's going on with you?
Doing great, guys. Also have to mention Hanley's last day with us. She heads to school next week, so it's a big day.
Intern Hanley, the final day on the program here with Robbie and Rex Road. Back to school. I hope that we have not corrupted her too badly.
Hopefully.
Wait a minute. So, I mean, I know you have school, but you can pop in here some mornings, right? Come on.
Joe, she needs sleep.
Class long.
Sleep's overrated.
Yeah, you can be all right. Just come by and say hi every once in a while.
That's right. No question about it. Intern Hanley has done a fantastic job. So her last show, very bittersweet today here on the program. We got a lot to get to today on today's show. Torrey Carter, Titans fullback, will join us at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that really kind of boisterous guy. The Titans put out a nice video of him mic'd up. So that was pretty fun. Looking forward to that coming up at 8 o'clock. Teron Davenport normally joins us at 8 o'clock. He'll join us today at 8:30 on the program. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 at 9 o'clock as well. And as always, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, some news on the Deshaun Watson front yesterday. The number of games has finally been set. It will be an 11-game suspension for Deshaun Watson. I love the quote, without pay in there, not taking into account the way the contract is set up for the Cleveland Browns. But 11-game suspension, a $5 million fine, and also mandatory evaluation by behavioral experts, and must follow that treatment program as well. So it looks like this is going to be it for Deshaun Watson. And guess when he'll be coming back? Week 13, when the Cleveland Browns take on the Houston Texans. Joe Rexrode, your reaction to the 11-game suspension for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that last point is like, my goodness. I mean, I hate to think, like, you know, that sounded good to the NFL, but boy, will there be eyeballs on that game. Yeah, it's disappointing to me. I thought that they could, you know, I mean, it was hard to know with this process. We've never seen this process, the way it worked. It was bizarre. Obviously, you know, the players have wanted this to move away from Goodell just being able to do whatever he wants to do, which in the past has largely been, I think most people would agree, too soft in a lot of cases. And I mean, I guess I believed him, I think, when he said he actually wanted, you know, the full season. He certainly made a strong case for why it should have happened. I think a lot of people, maybe most people, would agree that it should have happened. So it's disappointing, but by far the bigger disappointment. I mean, we knew at some point there was going to be a resolution. Here's the resolution, so we can move forward. By far the bigger disappointment is hearing just the ridiculous crap that spewed out of the Cleveland Browns facility yesterday. Like, I understand you're going to rationalize things to a certain point. I get that, okay? But first of all, Deshaun Watson himself, for whoever bought his little apology last week, he totally went back on it yesterday and said, you know, basically he said it for people who were, quote, triggered by what he did. Yes, Deshaun, it's unfortunate people are triggered by a sexual predator. That's very unfortunate. But I think, like, seriously, the biggest issue, I'm going to read a quote from Dee Haslam, wife of Jimmy Haslam. The Haslams owned the Cleveland Browns. Here's a quote. Quote, I think there's just a huge opportunity to talk about the major issues in our country in this area, such as sex trafficking, massage parlor use. So we can continue to talk about Deshaun, or we can talk about the major issues our country faces and make a difference, end quote. And I'm sorry that I had to do sarcastic voice even while I was reading that quote. It makes me so nauseous. So she is basically throwing in, like, you know, like, massage parlors where people, you know, go, you know, and we know sometimes those are fronts for, like, sex places. She's conflating that with the industry of massage therapy, which is a very serious injury. These are women who like are professional licensed massage therapists, or some of them were in school to become professional licensed massage therapists, which is a very real profession. And she's actually trying to put those things together to rationalize this. Oh my God, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And the whole thing was just, I mean, at this point, it's, you know, I think about these things, Robbie, sometimes in terms of, you know, media, of course, right? Dude, covering the Browns in the next few years would be just awful. Like, I don't even know what you do with it. Like, I don't even know what you do with it. It's just a load of crap. And I feel terrible, in particular, for these women, of course, and women who are in that profession, but like women who work in that organization. Ugh, it's just gross. And I don't want to hear a damn thing today about innocent until proven guilty. We're not talking about criminal proceedings. We're talking about a confirmed sexual predator.
It's just, it was pretty unbelievable. And I don't use that word. Like, I think that word gets thrown around too much. It was pretty much unbelievable, some of the stuff that came out of there yesterday from Cleveland. So, I mean, look, they're going to obviously, with this being done now, they're going to try to move forward and move past this, and they're just going to act like this doesn't happen now as we move forward. I think it's pretty clear with the Browns, but you know, going back to the Goodell part of this, you know, he had some strong words last week, and he had the power, and Jared talked about this a lot yesterday. He had the power to make this full year if he really wanted to. So I guess my question is, looking at this, why is it not a full year if that's how strongly you felt about it, if you're Roger Goodell?
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, well, I guess is that true though? Did he really have the power? I mean, again, I don't want to make any excuses for him. I mean, they collectively bargained this process, and I mean, this is sold as, well, look, this is the best we could get. We had to make a deal. But look,
I don't buy that the best that they could get magically ends up with him playing in the Houston game. I'm sorry, yeah, I don't.
I can't argue with you, man. And the thing is, it's still, and we talked about this before with when the initial six game thing came out, you know, that Sue L. Robinson, you know, laid out all these reasons why it should be more, and then basically pointed to precedent, right? And said, like, six is the most I can get. It is, let's face it, like it or not, Deshaun Watson is going to be one of the most covered, most talked about faces of the NFL moving forward. So, so ultimately from, I mean, I'm with you. It looks so bad. I can't believe, like, I don't want to believe that Roger Goodell would be like that, you know, just two-faced, you know, to be like, okay, well, if he's going to come back, how about a little Houston, folks, huh? I mean, they're printing money over there, you know,
yeah.
But definitely just the idea that, that when it comes down to it, they want this to go away. They want it to move toward the football, and they know, look, he's a great player. We'll see if he still is, you know, but from what we know of him, he's a guy who is going to have a chance to lead them to big things on the field, and the NFL knows that, and it's just all very icky.
Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, the NFL better hope the Browns don't win anything big anytime soon. How bad would it look to see Watson holding a trophy with confetti falling around while Goodell looks on? This coming from Liam on the text line.
Yeah, I can't. You know, I'm trying to think of,
look, there have been some awkward moments. There's nothing like this, but like, you know, after all the Deflategate stuff with Brady, yeah, and all that stuff, and, you know, Goodell handing him a couple of trophies, you know, a lot of people were interested in that. It doesn't hold a candle to this stuff with Deshaun Watson.
Well, and in that case, I think I'd say most of the public was at least somewhat on the Belichick Brady side, right? I mean, Goodell has not been a very popular figure, and I mean, I would even agree that he was a little bit overzealous, although Deflategate, the you know, even though it was real, I mean, they were cheating, but still, I mean, the fact that Goodell did what he did, people, I think a lot of people were on the side of the other side, right? I'm trying to think of something like this where you've got someone who, you know, I mean, early days after the Kobe Bryant accusations, which didn't result in charges, and there's a lot, if you read the details and all that, it's troubling, you know, how it all went down. early days, I think it was, I guess, kind of like this, but that was still like one situation and you either believed him or didn't. And, you know, there you know, I mean, like it's one thing. This is like there's no disputing what happened here. There's no, and I'm not talking about the sexual assault, but there's no disputing what happened over a period of time. Like it's brutal. And so I can't think of something quite like this where a player, you know, like an athlete in their prime who has a chance to do great things and has previously been probably thought of as highly in terms of character as anyone in the league, right? Is now this situation. Am I missing something? I think this is unprecedented.
I don't think there's anything that's all that close to it, to be honest with you.
It's going to be, I mean, I hate to say it's going to be fascinating. That's not the right word to use. It's going to be interesting, but also just like yesterday's press conference, to me, it's like, I'm not even going to be able to handle this. And even some of the media coverage is going to be so hard to stomach on this. And the redemption story crap that's inevitably going to come from somewhere, like I'm already bracing for it. And it's like mute everyone.
Wes in Clarksville on the text line says, this shows the NFL cares more about the dollar. Hope everyone decides not to go to the Houston Browns game. I love the sentiment, Wes, and I agree with you. I just know that that's not going to happen, and a lot of people are going to be watching that game. I know that. Yeah. I don't know when that game. I don't know if it's a noon game or what it's supposed to be, but there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game.
Yeah, I think it is, but will it get – see, if that's the thing. If it gets changed, then, you know but they, I mean, that would just confirm what you just said, but, God, it wouldn't surprise me.
Not surprise me either. We're off and running here today. Robbie and Rex Rowe taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will mercifully switch gears and get to day two of observations from Joe Rexrode from Tampa Bay and Titans practice. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, the game. Back in Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025 1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you. The final day of practices yesterday between the Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before their riveting preseason game tomorrow that Joe Rexrode is very much looking forward to. Joe, what stood out to you yesterday on the field between the Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in day two?
Oh, I thought I was muted. Sorry. I wasn't muted. I could have talked there.
You could.
Yeah. Sorry. I needed to have my, okay, here we go. Let's just get these notes out. So I went defense. I mostly was on the defense. So, like, I missed – I know everybody was talking about Hassan Haskins trucking Logan Ryan.
Good day for Logan Ryan yesterday.
Yeah, he gets that. And, of course, we talked on the show yesterday about the whole Kyle Phillips thing. I think he'd prefer the Kyle Phillips interaction from what I understand of the Hassan Haskins tackle or attempted tackle. I guess Hassan Haskins did go down eventually. He, like, trucked Logan Ryan and then, like, stumbled and fell. So I guess that counts as a tackle. So, you know, one thing I was obviously looking for was reps. I mean, because, you know, as Jared told us on the show yesterday, McCreary getting in there with some ones reps with Farley on the sideline the first day. Unfortunately, yesterday, you didn't get a chance to find out about that, where that was going, because Elijah Molden's back on the bike, which isn't great for the Titans. Now, maybe because he's obviously been dealing with something long-term, that could be one of those, you know what, you can play one day and let's just take off the next day and just be careful. Right. Could be that. On the injury front, good news, Treylon Burks out there. Didn't participate in the team stuff, but at least he was out there running. Looked a little ginger, but it looks like no big deal. Nate Davis not out there, so keep an eye on that. But so with the DBs then, you've got McCreary back in the slot, you know, where he's worked a lot more this camp. And then Farley, you know, on the outside with the ones. And that's what's interesting, too. Like, if McCreary ends up getting that job, man, after as a rookie and after basically working, like, it'll be way more inside than outside. That says a lot about Roger McCreary. From the start yesterday, Caleb Farley, I thought, was like just looked determined to make plays. A slant to Darden in red zone, just a fantastic job of reading it and then getting him some position and then using that length to break up the pass. You know, a lot of other corners in that same spot, that's still a completion because he's got a few more inches to get out there and get his hand on the ball. Shakur Brown with a really good PBU in that period as well. McCreary actually did he TD in the back of the end zone. But he looks good for sure. A quick out, Farley with a big stop. I've written down numbers here, of course. Number 80 for the Bucks, just short of the end zone.
How many times is 26 come up in there?
Yeah.
From across the field. Who's that over there? 26?
Who is that? 26 for them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Logan. So you had then in the same period, you had Jeff Simmons and Gadecki for the Bucks. Gadecki just kind of fell on him, but Jeff Simmons did not like that. So then Gadecki's trying to get up from Jeff Simmons, and Simmons has his face mask. And he's not letting him get up. And then it's like, uh-oh. And they quickly, the whistle blew. I think Vrabel blew his whistle like 27. Burr, 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 you know, they got in there and got it all wrapped up. But that got a little bit dicey. For the most part, and I heard that this was the case, you know, in day one, because I mostly watch the offense. I mean, for the most part, the Titans were dominant on D. They looked great on D. Now, again, interior of that offensive line they will see better offensive line interiors. Also, no Tom Brady and no Mike Evans and no Chris Godwin, et cetera, et cetera. Those guys were out there, but they weren't participating. Then you get to the team stuff at the end. And it looked that's when Farley has, it's kind of just a heave, you know, it's a deep shot from Gabbert. I think he was going to Brait, but Farley tracked it. Great play to pick it off, and then two straight plays on post routes. He got in there and had pass breakups, and he was pumped about it. They were pumped about it. It was a good day for him. So that's, you know. Meanwhile, Ben Jones at center, he is he goes, I think one snap, and it's a little bit of people are kind of piled up, and he gets out of there, and he can barely put, you know, pressure on his left leg. And then he's waving Vrabel off. He's like, no. And Vrabel's like, come on, man. And then he's done for the rest of the practice. I mean, he stands there watching. Corey Levin goes in for him. But, yeah, it's just like you're just going to see the same thing with Ben Jones this year. He's going to play well. He's going to be a leader. And he's going to be limping around so often in between things. I mean, he's just been so banged up. Also late, Christian Fulton had to leave. It looked to me like, you know, pulling the foot kind of thing, which would kind of suggest maybe just like a calf cramp. So I don't think it's anything, you know, any big deal or anything. I mean, he talked afterward and all that stuff. So so basically then it's all done. 2 days of good work. And I don't know what the heck happened. It was pretty close to me, but all of a sudden, someone swung at Jeff Simmons, and I'm like, "What is happening?" And then it turned out that it was Leonard Fournette. So
hey, good for him, man.
Well, hey, I will tip of the cap to Lenny Fournette for going after Jeff Simmons.
I got a lot of respect for Leonard Fournette now. Good for you, buddy.
I mean, wow. And that was, you know, that's one of those situations, like we joke about Mike Vrabel and Dan Campbell, you know, in a cage match. And I guess like on a lot of coaching staffs, you at least, you may have like an O-line coach or a linebacker, a strength coach. You know, you have like some bigger coaches or whatever, right? But Vrabel is very effective at physically stopping things from happening. I mean, don't, you know, like this, again, this is like Hard Knocks would be okay here. Like Hard Knocks would have a chance to be interesting here. Just with, you know, Vrabel's in there and like, and just he stops it. And like that dude in another lifetime could have been like the ultimate bouncer. So they, you know, it could have been like, cause there were a lot of guys kind of close to getting involved, you know.
Yeah.
You know how that goes. It can just grow, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, now it's out of control. But they got it stopped, and you could tell afterward that, you know, that Vrabel was none too pleased with Jeff Simmons.
He was not. And he repeated his classic line yesterday of dumb stuff to hurt the team. It was at the end of the press conference yesterday from Vrabel. But, yeah, didn't seem like he's very happy with Jeff Simmons there. I will say it's probably good he got in there for the sake of Leonard Fournette. I got a lot of respect for Leonard Fournette. I don't know that Jeffrey Simmons is the one that I would try that on. Although It does seem like Jeffrey Simmons, very competitive. It does feel like from a Titans perspective, he's always kind of the one in the middle of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a talker. You know, I mean, he's out there and he is going to let you know if he dominates you, you know. And that's on Sundays too, but on Sundays – I mean, it's just a different deal. Like, you have to focus on your job. You know, you're playing this game, high stakes. And something like this, you can be a little bit more ticked off and be like, man, shut up, you know? he is out there. He's talking, and he's backing it up because he's dominating. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think on that field, like, who was the best football player on that field the last 2 days? You know, if Tom Brady were out there, at least best of all time, right? Maybe right now, still really good. You know, who? I think it's, you know, Derrick Henry, but he wasn't participating. You can certainly make the case that he was the best football player out there. But I think you can make a case for 98. And certainly in terms of performance, I mean, no one that I saw, and the Bucs have, they've got great guys up front on defense going against kind of a questionable offensive line, but I didn't see anyone dominate the way he did over and over again. And again, then he's talking about, and at some point, and they must obviously said something. I know the Titans were talking after, like, we won the day, you know, for whatever that's worth. Like, we won the scrimmage. Okay. And somebody must have said something. I know that when Farley got his pick, there were a couple Titans who turned over and were kind of talking to the Bucs sideline too. So, you know, it's hot out there. It's competitive. They almost got through 2 days without something like this. But, hey, there are there have been much more intense fights even in recent years with the Titans in these joint practices.
Hey, man, that's what training camp's for. If you don't get at least one in training camp, not doing your job out there. So good on the Titans.
You're not getting ready.
And the Bucs. Yeah, no question about it. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and the Bucs day number two of practice, 615-737-1025. The NFL week one odds are out, and now's the time to try FanDuel Sportsbook if you haven't already. Get in on the action early this season. Right now, new FanDuel Sportsbook customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Lots of interesting props out there locally. I'm taking a look at Derrick Henry to beat out Jonathan Taylor to win the rushing title, but you take it any way you want to take it. The Saints, my dark horse team in the NFC as well. But you got a whole lot of different props to choose from on here, and you can do whatever you want to do. Just make sure when you do it, you sign up using promo code Rob. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to get ready for football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official sports betting partner of the NFL. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Mike, why has the rep count decreased for Logan?
Because, you know, I just think that we have to continue to develop Malik in this system. And we've had conversations with Logan about, you know, his opportunity to compete. But I also feel like, you know, we have to try to see, you know, how quickly we can bring Malik along. And I think that would be the reason why.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday after Titans practice, day number two between the Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Joe, I thought that answer was pretty interesting when it comes to Malik Willis and Logan Woodside. The question was, why is Logan Woodside's reps not increasing? And that was Vrabel's response there in terms of trying to get Malik Willis ready. What did you kind of read into that? And did that tell you one way or the other, and maybe how they're viewing Logan Woodside at the moment?
Well, first of all, I want you to hear this. Good question by Jared. Simple, to the point, open-ended. Why is something happening? And got a good answer, which is obviously no sure thing with Vrabel. It's kind of like what we were talking about yesterday to me. I mean, it kind of confirms what I've thought, which is in a lot of cases you look at reps in training camp, and if someone starts getting more, like, oh, they're moving ahead. In this case, I think it's what he said. That's what I assumed, and I believe him. I mean, they need to take advantage of this time. Once the season starts, I mean, first of all, like, we have spent an inordinate amount of time talking about number two quarterback, right? But it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise, right? So, I mean, you got the rookie coming in, you know, high pick, not first round pick, but high pick, and a lot of excitement with that. And you got your own quarterback, you know, in this town issues. So, but I mean, once the season starts, Malik Willis's job during the week will be probably, you know, being the scout team quarterback, and you got to try to pretend you're this guy or that guy. This is their offense. So learn these plays in their offense, because our defense needs to look at this, you know? So this is their time to really get him in this system together. So it makes sense. Now, I think it'd be easier to do that, or maybe they'd feel better about it if Woodside were playing better, because he's not playing well. So it's going to be interesting, like Saturday night, what they do. You could make the case, just give Malik Willis the game. You can make the case, give Malik Willis. Like, if you know for sure, you're this coaching staff, and you know for sure, yeah, look, Malik is not going to be ready to be the backup quarterback. We can't right now expect him to go in and run this offense in a real game against a team that has game plan for our offense. Logan Woodside is the emergency. He's the backup. If you know that for sure, then you can make a case to just give Malik Willis the last two games and more reps in practice and go full on. Now, I'm also open to the question of, is Woodside, like, is it just not good enough and you could get better than Woodside? I'm not saying Malik Willis. I'm saying somebody outside. I think that's worth thinking about, talking about, and they've obviously done that in recent years. They've tried to do that.
Well, I was interested to get your thoughts, because I saw some people take Vrabel's comments yesterday as, oh man, maybe they're really not comfortable with Logan Woodside right now. I kind of took it the opposite way. Like, I think they know what they have in Woodside. Now, you know, eventually he's going to have to – I'd still like to see him play in the preseason, because, you know, if he continues to stink up the joint out there, then I think you ought to consider looking elsewhere if you're the Titans. But obviously, yeah. And look, this, we've talked about this 100 times. There's obviously a comfort level there between Vrabel and the coaching staff and Logan Woodside. So that's kind of what that was highlighted to me. I basically took those comments yesterday as, we know what we have in Logan. We need to see how quickly Malik Willis can figure things out. Where I did kind of view it, maybe, you know, maybe he does get a full game, whether that be against Tampa Bay or against Arizona. I think that's a very real possibility in the next two preseason games.
Yeah. And, hey, I mean, this game already is like, whew, see what we get to see out there. Oh, yeah. You get to that last preseason game, it's a tough sell, man. So if it's Malik Willis gets a whole game, that's, hey, that's a rare opportunity in the world of preseason football anymore to have some level of interest in it. But I'm with you on Woodside. He should play some, and there should be some pressure on him. And, you know, you want to see him like, hey, get out there and do what we see you do normally in practice. It's just like anybody else. Like, you got to perform. I mean, Vrabel's never going to say, okay, this counts this percentage, and in practice, you know, and team counts this percentage of our evaluation. But it all counts. And the preseason game should be at least a heightened level of evaluation, just in terms of there's eyeballs on you, and you know that there's another team on the other side. The guy's trying to make a team, so the guys are playing hard. They're looking to make a mark in some way.
Yeah.
And that should provide conditions, even if you're not playing NFL starters and everything. Like, there's some value in that for guys who are trying to make a roster. And I think Logan Woodside, based on his last week plus, should be out there and needs to play better.
So let me ask you this. You were obviously – you spent a lot of time with the defense yesterday. The first day, you were more with the offense, but all reports were the Titans had a pretty dominant day on defense the first day against the Tampa Bay. Another good day for the Titans defense yesterday as well. You know, I said this heading into these practices. I'd be pretty disappointed if that didn't happen, given who's not out there for Tampa Bay right now. My question for you is, what do you take away from this as you're looking at the Titans defense? We've got high expectations for this defense. They weren't taking on Tom Brady. Mike Evans wasn't out there. You mentioned the offensive line and the question marks that Tampa Bay has there. And I feel like the Titans did what they probably needed to do / should have done. So that being the case, what do you take away from the defense the last couple of days?
Well, I think the defense essentially looks like I thought they'd look. It's just – like, the offense they went against is, yeah, it's an offense that doesn't win you much on Sundays. You know, Gabbert or Trask, and some good receivers, like Darden's a good receiver. Julio gave him a good look. You know, be interesting to see what he does this year. Not, they're gonna play much better offenses. Good tackles though, and you know. That's the thing, like, the pass rush aspect is still a little bit muted in these situations. Like, they, you know, no one's touching anybody's quarterback. And if they do, that's when the fight definitely happens.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's, you know, there's still some things that aren't exactly game-like. But, yeah, my takeaway on the defense is they look as good as you would think. I didn't see the play, but I heard TD, and I saw him tweet about it, and I heard him talk about it on the TD Power Hour on Jared Show yesterday. David Long, gosh, who the heck was it? He apparently just stood up, you know, who's, you know, got 100 pounds on him for the Bucks. But, you know, David Long does stuff like that. And we never talk about David Long because you just know he's going to be a starter now. David Long is going to be really good this year for the Titans. The defense, I think, is going to be really good. And I think if you're going to – what you wanted to see, overall, I think pretty encouraging. It wasn't a good day for Caleb Farley first day. He did bounce back. And that's important. And there's going to be more downs ahead. There's going to be downs in the season. But that corner position looks like it's settling down. You want Elijah Molden to be healthy. But yeah. If he's not, Roger McCreary is out there competing. He's very, very fun to watch. So, yeah, my biggest takeaway, I think this defense could be as good as we've discussed this year.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's – you're going to get a good look there. I did find it interesting, too, that Vrabel talking about next week with the Cardinals, they're going to kind of do things a little bit differently and maybe split up at times and go against themselves. Like, it's kind of a different approach, apparently, next week against the Cardinals. So this could be, like, the real – one of the few good looks you have left for the defense in terms of competitive against another team all preseason.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, they'll get another preseason game against the Giants. In week one.
Boy.
And you know the Giants are putting 40 up after I said that.
Yes, they are. Disrespect.
So yes. On the text line, unnamed, it sounds like he was trying to say there's an open competition between Logan Woodside and Malik is what it sounded like to me. Did it sound like that to you?
It did not sound that way to me.
I think people want to hear that. And again, I'm not discounting any possibility, although it's getting late. The problem, guys, is like Malik Willis right now is not – he's not making gains. For as much as Woodside is struggling, like Malik's not right now busting through the door, not taking advantage of the opportunity. But Saturday is an opportunity, and I think it should be for both in different ways.
Yep, no question about it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there's one rookie out there that is consistently grabbing the attention of Joe Rexroad. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Titans fullback Torrey Carter coming up at 8 o'clock here on the program. So looking forward to that. So Joe, there has been a rookie that has pretty consistently been grabbing your attention out there on the practice field. Who is said rookie?
Well, yeah, and I feel like on the program here, we have just about every week we have me, you know, overhyping like a particular receiver. But I'll do it again here. That's okay. I have no problem with that. Me overhyping receivers. I mean, that's kind of what I do.
That's what we're here for.
It's like my minor in life, you know, majoring in. And dad jokes, minoring and overhyping receivers. Yeah, Kyle Phillips. I'm on a daily basis understanding that individual drills are already tough for DBs, and you don't want to be too fooled by those. He's also in team stuff. He gets open. He gets open against his own team, against starters on the Titans, against the Bucs. And I think he's going to get open this year. He's and I don't know what his number is going to be. I don't know how often he'll be on the field. I am confident he will be on the field, that he will be a part of this offense, and that he will give them a different dimension. If McMath can keep progressing and stretch things out a little bit that way, and of course if Burks can come on, and he's still got some, you know, some growth to make here, obviously. Before the season, and I think during the season, you got pretty much known commodities, good players, a very good player in Robert Woods, and someone who has become a good player in NWI. But Kyle Phillips, and then we talked about the tight ends. And also, by the way, Dontrell Hilliard is going to be really good. I think Dontrell Hilliard is going to, all due respect to McWeapon, going to upgrade that spot. But Kyle Phillips is a different kind of deal. I'm very intrigued to see when it really matters. When they're out there on Sundays, how many snaps he gets and how often Ryan Tannehill looks at him. Because it doesn't just look like Kyle Phillips is, getting open and has ridiculously quick feet, good hands, but it looks like Ryan Tannehill's getting a feel for him. Now, granted, yesterday Tannehill threw a pick that it looked like Phillips may have read it differently than he did. I would tend to go with the veteran QB, right, on that one. So it's not perfect, and we know we've talked ad nauseum about the completely transformed Ryan Tannehill out there, like,
was that yesterday or was that Wednesday?
The pick was the pick was Wednesday.
Well, I just want to make sure we weren't one closer to the five, because once we get there, we know what that means moving forward.
Well, it's funny you say that, because a Bucs linebacker dropped a pick that Tannehill threw yesterday. So
didn't catch it. Doesn't count.
Right. If he would have caught it, we're talking now Tannehill's like flirting with tier four this year. But because he dropped it, we can keep him up in the teens.
If he gets to five picks, he's gonna be down there with Geno Smith on his own tier. Great one.
But anyway, yes, Kyle Phillips. I'm here to overhype Kyle Phillips all the way.
Is Kyle Phillips the one that Vrabel described yesterday as going rabbit hunting with a hammer?
Yes.
I've never heard that before in my life, and it's awesome. I'm going to use it from now on.
But the thing I don't understand is, so isn't the people going rabbit hunting with a hammer the people trying to cover them, right?
You would think.
Like
that, or you're that quick that you can hunt the rabbit with a hammer. Maybe that's what he was talking about with Kyle Phillips. Like, he doesn't need anything else. He's got the hammer, and he can catch up to the rabbit. That's the way I took it.
Okay. I guess you're right. Yeah, like, when I heard that, I was like, okay, so what he's – like, I'm thinking of, like, I'm thinking of Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Like, people are trying to chase him around, you know. Elmer Fudd, you know.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, so here's the quote. I asked about Phillips Vrabel. Quote, he's quick, man. He goes rabbit hunting with a hammer. So he's actually saying that Phillips can actually catch rabbits with a hammer.
Can you imagine
that's even quicker than like a guy who can't be caught because he's like a rabbit.
Well, look, man, just in that receiving room alone, if they ever get stuck on like some island, can you imagine between him hunting rabbits with a hammer, which I know is a figure of speech by Vrabel, and Treylon Burks out there getting, you know, hogs with his bare hands, they're going to be in good shape. They'll be able to survive.
Oh man, they show up with like blood on their, it'd be like a Red Dawn, like blood on their face.
Most intimidating receiving room of all time.
And by the way, Kyle Phillips is like the least intimidating person ever. If you stand next to him or you talk to him, I mean, it's like, oh, hey, one of the Titans in accounting interns is here. Kyle Phillips. yeah. Rabbit hunting and hog hunting. No kidding. That's awfully impressive. And NWI could probably just kill any animal with a snap of a finger, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, as omnipotent as he is. So
yeah,
just what a receiver room.
Just an incredible receiver room. So in all seriousness, I am interested because you bring up Hilliard, and look, I don't want to overhype him, but you know, I saw some really good stuff from Hilliard last year in stretches. You've been very consistent in saying that he's had a very good camp thus far. So let's say he is an upgrade as a third down back on McNichols from last year. What do you think this does for Ryan Tannehill, having maybe a legitimate option throwing the ball in the backfield, but also a legitimate option in the slot, which outside of Adam Humphries, and unfortunately that was in very, you know, that wasn't consistently available to him in Humphries' times here. That hasn't really been an option for Tannehill throughout his course with the Titans here. So with those two things, with the receiving option out of the backfield and with maybe a slot receiver that, you know, I'm not going to say he's the next Randall Cobb or anything out there, but could give you some really good snaps. What does that mean? What could that mean for Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, it's another – because the thing is, I feel like if anything, this offense is giving him – better outlets. And you know, Ferkser was one of those guys. I thought Ferkser would be more of that last year, and it didn't turn out that way. But I feel like with Austin Hooper, like he's got a safety valve there, and it'll be more than that at times too. I mean, I think Austin Hooper will be, you know, a playmaker, but I think there's a certain chemistry that's been built there that will be an outlet. But I also think Kyle Phillips can be that. And think about last year, Chester Rogers was not great, but I mean, he played in 16 games. What do you have? He had 30 catches last year. I felt in certain situations, that's what his role was, right? Tannehill's like, get the ball out, move the chains, and, you know, and at times that worked out well with Chester Rogers. And there's no comparison in particular in just the slot ability, like the slot skills, right, that you look for that Kyle Phillips has. I mean, that Kyle Phillips has very, very well beyond Chester Rogers. But even last year, at times, he leaned on him. I mean, it was 30 for 301 and one touchdown. The numbers weren't great. But, you know, here and there, it was like, and especially having to get the ball out fast, right? I mean, last year, Tannehill was – the pocket was a very different place for him last year than in previous seasons. So that may still be the case this year. I don't know. But I feel like with Phillips, with Hooper, those two guys in particular, like he's got – and with Hilliard, You know, I think Hilliard also runs routes really well. So minimize the pass rush ability, neutralize it a little bit with those guys. Again, I don't think Kyle Phillips at the end of the year is going to have some gaudy numbers, but you watch him this year, there's going to be some moments where he puts people on skates and I think makes important catches for the Titans.
Well, to me, with him this year, I think it's more about when he makes catches and not necessarily the volume of catches that he makes.
Exactly. Yeah, like percentage that go for first downs, things like that. And I think in those obvious passing downs, you know, you can't make that mistake. Like, you can't have that mistake. If it was a mistake yesterday, and it has been at times in camp, you make that one mistake on a Sunday, that might cost you the game, right? So that's got to get cleaned up. But he is a rookie. If they get that all on the same page, then, yeah, I think in those obvious passing downs, you're going to see Tannehill know, like, I know I've got 6 yards right here.
Got a texter that says, you hunt rabbits with dogs and a shotgun, LOL. I think you're missing the point of how fast Mike Vrabel thinks Kyle Phillips is.
Yeah.
That was the point.
Those varmints don't stand a chance.
That's right. There's an interesting position battle going on out there with the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. It's fantasy football season, and my friends at Twin Peaks will hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And while you're there, you're hanging out, you can relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers, or they've got some great food for you to sample as well. They've got shareables like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of boneless wings that you guys could sample while you're out there having your draft. So call our friends at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. That's 615-221-0869. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.